Thank you, Joanne. So good to have you on our team this summer. So good to worship together. So good to open to God's Word right now. And before we do, I have another announcement. Connor and Kendra Gaughan welcomed a baby boy, Ace Christian, a week ago on June 7th. And so congratulations to them. Let's give them a round of applause. And of course, Salson's a grandma, Gigi. Let's look at God's Word. Ephesians 4, 26 to 5, verse 2. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God has emotions. And are you aware that when you sin, the Holy Spirit of God feels grieving, sadness, sorrow? This grieving includes when we sin by how we deal poorly with our own emotions. We got emotions going both ways. Us maybe dealing poorly with them and the Holy Spirit of God feeling them. And in particular, one of those emotions that gets us, that we often deal poorly with, is anger. We talked about that last week. We're going to unpack it a little more today. And we're going to show the connections to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4, 26 to 5, 2. And of course, these connections to the Holy Spirit shape and mold us and relate to our connections in family and relationships. So this applies to all of us, everyone in our families. And as we're singing about the air I breathe, right? If we're sinning and continuing to embrace sin, it's like we're choking off the source of air. So think about how God feels. This is kind of a major kind of paradigm shift. Well, like, hey, how do I feel? And maybe if we're getting a little bit of maturity, I think about how you feel. Real spiritual maturity is thinking about how God feels. And this verse shows us that God has emotions, clearly, and that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force, clearly, right? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. To grieve means to bring about or cause an emotion of sadness or sorrow. What we do can cause that. God is unchanging, yes, but he's not emotionless. He's deeply relational. And we're going to explain and apply more about this today. And of course, we're drawing the connections back to anger and how we deal with anger. Ephesians 4, 26, how the Holy Spirit's work in us connects to his emotions and to our emotions and how we deal with emotions if we're dealing with them poorly. Or as a parent, maybe we're coaching our child and saying, okay, what's going on right here, right now? And one of those things that may be going on is not just that they're upset and dealing with that poorly, and that you're upset because they're dealing with it poorly, but actually the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is a long way to take that child who's just now thinking about their emotions and hardly can even think about somebody else's emotions, but now to consider as they come to know the Lord and grow in Him, and you lay in them that foundation, God Himself is feeling something right now if you're dealing with anger in a way that leads you to sin. So we're continuing on this, not sinning when emotions fire was last week's message, to feel the emotion, tell God the emotion, let the truth of the Bible for and about it impact you, test it and yourself, toss out what you should, use the tool of the Psalms, we talked about that, and deal with things in a timely way. All of this for you as you live out new life in Christ, and for your child as and when they come to personal faith to live out their life in Christ. This is a whole new way of looking at things as it comes to emotions in family relationship. We're not managing from the external. We're living from the internal reality of a personal relationship with God through Jesus, whereby the Holy Spirit is working in us. I'm excited that next week we're going to continue and then wrap up as we talk about the family, and particularly the instruction that parents and fathers in the lead role provide for their children. And notice Ephesians 6:4, we're going to go next week. It has emotion, anger. Maybe your anger that may be provoking them to anger. Again, discipline, the instruction of the Lord. Interesting, as Paul wrote Ephesians 6:4, he'd already written Ephesians 4 and 5, right? So what Paul's laying down today is part of what Christian parents instruct their children in as they come to know the Lord and grow in Him. And another family connection, I'm looking for these. Ephesians 5:1, did you catch this as I read? You know how like a much-loved child, at least on their good days, imitates their parent? We're supposed to be like that as a beloved child of God. Imitate God and His godly behaviors. We see all the connections here to our lives, yes, but also to families and to parents. And I hope you're catching these. These apply to all of us. And today we're going to consider by the numbers. We got some numbers for you. Handling your life and handling your emotions in a way that pleases God, that pleases the Spirit, not to grieve the Spirit. So we're going to talk about one thing that grieves Him, and that, of course, is sin. So look out. We got to be aware. This one thing is to be noted as we begin. And then there are six things, got a long list here, six things to get rid of aggressively. As the Spirit's working in you, right? This is not just you do it, it's He's in you working. And that's part of, I think, the emphasis here of the grieving. It's because you have that reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God within you. So don't grieve Him as He's doing His work of grace in you. And then four things to pursue. If you want healthy relationships, if you want a family that's working great, a marriage that's working great, a church community that's working great, a youth group that's working great, a DR team that's working great, a VBS team that's working great, you want to see that? Well, we're going to hear four things to go after. These are what Christians should be aggressively pursuing. So in order to not grieve the Spirit, we're going to unpack this for each believer and all of our emotions. And once again, we're going to try to lean it a little bit towards parents just to help kind of make tangible and concrete. Like these are really helpful things for our families and, of course, for all of us. We can do this because we're instructed to by the work and grace of God and the Spirit's work within us. We can avoid the things that bring sadness to the Holy Spirit. And vice versa, we can do the things that please Him. Think about that. Well, sometimes like, oh man, my child down there is nailing it. This, praise God, right? This work of grieving has its opposite, which is pleasing. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. We're going to keep coming back to that verse today. But this word grieving is used for the emotion of sorrow Jesus experienced in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, when he considered the hardness of men's hearts. What did Jesus feel when he considered the hardness of their hearts? He felt sad. He was grieved. And this word is the same word used of our sorrow when someone dies. How do we feel when someone we love dies? Oh, man, it's sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. The Holy Spirit feels something like those things when we do that which is dishonoring to him. And think of the opposite. There's many verses in the Bible. I just picked a few where believers can please God. It's by faith we can please God. And we are called to please God. And even the book of Ephesians is one of those verses about try to live and discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We want to be that way, not grieving. We want to be pleasing. And of course, this all flows from this pleasing the Lord and seeking to not grieve the Holy Spirit, a personal relationship with Jesus. Why do I say that? Because the book of Ephesians was written to those who were alive by faith in Jesus Christ. You were dead in your trespasses, but now God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So this book is written to those who are saved. This out of the gate is the starting point then to have a personal faith in Jesus, whereby by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Once a person has that genuine personal faith in Jesus Christ, turning to him, there's a lot that is said in the book of Ephesians about the Holy Spirit. I'd like to invite you to look at this slide, kind of go through this quickly. But first and foremost, at conversion, you receive him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 talks about this. When you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. What's the emphasis of sealing? I believe it is the security of our redemption. It's like a signature saying, you are in. You say, well, how can that be? I know my weaknesses. I know my struggle. Well, that's the Holy Spirit comes into you to ensure that that will indeed happen. You're secure in redemption by the Holy Spirit. And everyone who has received Jesus by faith has the Holy Spirit and such a seal. He's working in all of us to build unity. This is what the book of Ephesians is about. Christ brings us together by the cross. All of our different backgrounds and ethnicities, personalities, right? Christ brings us together. And the Holy Spirit is building us together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. The Holy Spirit is working to help us as we keep the unity of the Spirit. How do we get along? Somebody say, well, yeah, that was what I was wondering, right? Well, how do we get along? We get along by the working of the Holy Spirit who keeps the unity and the peace, Ephesians 4:3. And then, of course, he feels sad when we sin. We're talking about that. But Ephesians 5:18, we are to seek to be filled. He keeps filling us. The command in the Greek, be being filled constantly. Lord Jesus, fill me by your Spirit today. Fill me by your Spirit today. Fill me by your Spirit today. And he fills us for his work and purposes in us. We have him, yes, but we need that constant refilling. And he's working on offense through his word. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You want to move forward in your faith. You want to move forward in ministry. Don't keep the Bible and the truth of God's word in the sheath, right? Pull it out and use the word. The Spirit works through the word. And then he energizes our prayers. When you pray rightly, when you're praying aligned with the Spirit, when you're praying with power, how is it? It's by the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. So we need personal faith in Jesus. Our child needs personal faith in Jesus. When we have personal faith in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. And then the focus here is to not grieve the Spirit. Keep seeking Him and seek to please Him. So let's look first at the one thing that grieves Him. We've already talked about sin does. I want you to imagine two different households, two different scenarios of mom. Over here, here's mom with some kids, and they're fighting constantly. And everything mom asks them to do receives a complaint. How does mom feel? Is she happy? No. Let's this scenario be. It's not an imaginary. It's the work of the Spirit over here. The kids are getting along fabulously. They're having fun together, playing together, laughing together, cooperating together. Every time mom asks them to do something, it's a happy yes, mommy. How does this mom feel? She's happy. She's a happy mom, right? Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit is not that simplistic, but something like that is happening in the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit's like, my dear children working within them that I am, when they're getting along, when they're honoring me versus sad, when emotions have them so that they are sinning, it brings the Holy Spirit grief. And we want to meditate on the opposite of seeking to please the Spirit. And so, why does it grieve the Spirit if we move to sin? I'm just meditating on this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, why does sin grieve Him? Well, one is it at some level is ignoring Him. It's saying, you know what? I know you're holy, but I really don't care that much about the holiness thing right now, right? Another level is inconsistent. It's inconsistent with who we are, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That redemption is to deliver us and set us free, not to keep us enslaved in it, right? So it's inconsistent. Another level, it is an interruption. Because the Holy Spirit is working in us to advance our growth. So when we're sinning, it's like what? This is the opposite of what I was seeking to do in you. And fourth, I would say, and I think as I'm looking at the context here, this may be the biggest reason why it is emphasized by Paul, it is injurious to the body. Because he's talking all about relationships. Begins Ephesians 4. Be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians all about the unity of the body in Christ, advancing on missions. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This is telling them to stop doing something that they're already doing. And there are moments in all of our lives that we need to stop doing something that we're already doing. This sin can appear on playgrounds, but it also can appear in classrooms. It can appear in neighborhoods. It can appear in work settings. It can appear in families. It can appear in marriages. It can appear in churches. It can appear in small groups. It can appear in youth groups. And the emphasis here to stop. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. Sin does so. Look out and turn from it. And of course, the connection to anger. When our anger leads to sinning, or other emotions that we deal with poorly lead to sinning. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. As Paul is moving from the exhortation to be angry and do not sin and to not grieve the Holy Spirit, he's got a list of some other sins here that he's considering: dishonesty and lying to one another, lack of hard work, laziness, lack of generosity, an unconcern for the needs of others. Verse 28, he's got a concern for unedifying words, just like letting things fly and, you know, take it and there and just giving that to you, not building others up. Those are other things that he's addressing. And of course, then we all need to reflect on that oftentimes when we're sinning, it's because of an occasion of something that has stirred emotion. maybe even legitimate. And then a wise parent then is reflecting with their child, like, okay, I noticed that you were, you know, seemingly upset about this, but now you're doing this. Can we go back to what happened that was hurtful, and what was the feeling, and what could you have done, as opposed to acting out in ways that are sin? So one thing grieves the Holy Spirit, it is sin. What should we do about this problem? Well, let's just kind of work through some things that might be implied here in the book of Ephesians. First is believe, right? You got to believe in the gospel, because now, then you have the Holy Spirit within you to help you as you grow and can resist the sinning. Then to be filled with him daily, be being filled daily. Open your life and heart up to him. Be open to the work of the Spirit in your life and coach your children in that. Be subject to him daily. We talked about the word of God, not just he's the air we breathe, but the word that he has spoken we embrace. So we embrace the truth of God's word and do so daily. And then to be honest, to admit when you're not doing that, to be repentant. And of course, even here in the text, Ephesians 4:32, there is forgiveness from God provided by the work of Jesus, received by faith. We are renewed in that as we admit our sin, 1 John 1:9. And so we embrace and are renewed in forgiveness as we go to the Lord who forgives us. That's some of the solutions if we're going down a track of grieving, so we stop grieving him. Let's look at six things to aggressively get rid of. We're going to move through this fairly quickly. Here's some things I suspect you probably want to aggressively get rid of in your home. Mice, bed bugs, flies, fleas, cockroaches, right? You want to get rid of them. Like, oh, gross. The Holy Spirit feels something like that about this list. Get rid of it. Don't let it be like, oh, it's fine. I got some spiritual cockroaches here. I'm just okay with it. So things grieve the Spirit. And if these are in your heart, your home, your youth group relationships, your church community or whatever, get rid of these. Take note of it. And if your kids, if you want to help them to not grieve the Spirit, you're going to put the radar on these as well. Not just external performance, but these heart attitudes to get rid of. And here's kind of a list of some specifics that definitely grieve the Spirit. Let us know that these make him sad. Let's remember that these make him sad and get rid of them. Put them away. And teach these to our kids as well. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. And these are sometimes words we don't use very often. When's the last time you heard somebody say clamor? We'll talk and define those, right? But the idea to be put away from you, along with all malice, is to make a clean sweep out. Imagine you're sweeping your kitchen floor. There's lots of dirt there. Has anybody ever just knocked that dirt underneath the refrigerator or the stove? Okay, don't do that, right? Spiritually, don't do that. Get it out. Get it on that pan and out in the trash. Spiritually speaking, that's what you need to do. Any parents been doing some refereeing of sibling squabbles? Any youth ministry leaders like, oh man, these kids, like, what's going on? I can't seem to help them get along. Anybody have a family? Or maybe in some church people, let's be honest, we do pretty good at pretending sometimes, but let's be honest, like, you know what? I don't really get along with them at all. Okay, so let's just back up a little bit. What's going on here? We just want to think about this. It could be that your emotions, somebody, somewhere, sometime, maybe even legitimately, moved you on a track of dealing with things in a way that now you're making the Holy Spirit sad. They're making the Holy Spirit sad. And one thing I think we can maybe kind of just bring to the level of the surface is anybody sad here? And typically, you're gonna, the person, if you're asking them, would say, well, I'm sad. And how does the other person feel? Well, probably they're sad. But even more so, how does God, the Holy Spirit, feel? Oh, light bulb moment. He's sad too. Think about that. When we move into these things where emotions have us, he's sad. Now, if you look at that list, it's interesting. There are emotions listed there. There is a kind of anger that isn't sin, but there is a kind of anger that is. And furthermore, what many have suggested that all of these are sort of in that ball of twine of anger in some ways, right? Bitterness, kind of anger turned inward, then wrath, that's explosive anger, and then clamor, that's what's going to come out of you when you're angry oftentimes and deal with poorly and slander. And then by the end of the day, you just like, just you're throwing things that are malice at that person. And God says, get rid of it. Aggressively get rid of it. That's the force. Put away by the Spirit, right? This is not just you. You got the Holy Spirit in you to help you to do this. You may say, I can't. I feel all these things. Well, you have the Holy Spirit in you to help you. So seek him and his grace for that work. And help your kids to see emotions matter. How you deal with your emotions matter. And if you deal with them poorly, it can move you down to emotions of sin, reactivity that is spiritually harmful. Here's the list. Bitterness, which is a spiteful aim. Like, I'm against you. It's sort of a spiritual kin to the half and half when it's 2 weeks beyond its due date and you open it up and you smell it, right? It's really nasty. It's that long-standing resentments, right? And it maybe start with hurt, move toward settled something, and now it's bitterness, resentments. Wrath is that immediate blow-up response that's over the line. It's not properly controlled. And anger here is probably, it's a different kind of anger than the one previous, because the other one verse 26, it's you have it and you don't sin. You may sin if you deal with it poorly. Here it's been dealt with poorly. So since wrath, the blow up is the word before, this is probably more when it becomes long standing and settled and starts to move toward bitterness. Clamor is loud self-assertion, shouting. Some people grew up in families where clamor was the norm. And this is saying, get rid of it. And slander, it's injurious words. It's insults behind the back. And malice in all its forms, in all malice. So there's this malice, there's that malice, there's another malice, there's another malice. There's not like a good malice. Get rid of all forms of malice, which is wishing or doing harm toward another person. Now it takes doing a good inventory to say, this isn't just that person, that situation, that person. Where is this in me? Where are those things that I tend to do or that I right now need to get rid of? And remember, all these are connections to the emotion, the timely and wise way we deal with them. Be angry and do not sin, verse 26. Get rid of these things aggressively. What's our use of words? I'm mindful of Ephesians 4:29, just a few verses earlier, right? A lot of times these things, not just with slander and clamor, but our words have stopped being upbuilding things, helpful things, things that are productive, to things that are tearing down. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. It's interesting, we're saved by grace, and that grace by which we are saved now shapes how we speak to others and give grace. And our goal in all of this is to please the Spirit, not to grieve Him. We looked at Galatians a few weeks ago in this setup of things that are evident in families that are dealing well with emotions is the work of the Spirit. And there we talked about walking by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and keeping step with the Spirit. Notice here, when we aren't walking or allowing His fruit to be produced or keeping in step, we make Him sad. So if we align with Him and walk by the Spirit, let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in us and keep in step with Him, we make Him happy. We need to not defend our sin, deflect correction, but as we hold the Bible and the Bible mirror, we need to make adjustments by the Spirit. God is working in all, even in this message, by the Spirit, to show us where we may have some dirt on our face, where emotions are not being dealt with properly. Help us to grow. Help us to repent. Help us to request His help. So if you have Jesus, you have God's resource to grow, the help of the Holy Spirit within you. Amen. So repent then of any wrong thinking, attitudes, words, whatever these things we need to put away, and request God's help to live in His truth and love. Let's talk about some things to put on, to actively pursue four things. These are commands and they're attitudes, but they're attitudes that lead to action. All of them here in the context are actively focused. And so let's consider verse 32 has three of these. Be kind. Be kind. When you wake up in the morning, what are you aggressively pursuing? Some of us, it's a cup of coffee. For others, it might be food. For others, it might be the phone. This is saying aggressively pursue being kind. I just want to be kind. I mean, who can I be kind to? Well, there's somebody probably you're going to meet with a good morning or a something right there. Be kind to them. And as you walk the door, be kind. As you interact with others, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. We're going to talk more about that. Tender-hearted. It's a Christian virtue. It's not a weakness. Be tender-hearted and forgiving. Actively pursuing that. The force is active, continual action.